Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all, and welcome to tonight's Impacting You broadcast. We're here tonight with returning guest, energy therapist, and author of the soon-to-be bestseller, Yesterday When I Was Crazy, Ms. Paula Potts. Welcome back, Paula.
Thank you, Alexis. I'm happy to be back. And let me add my words of welcome to our listeners. Good evening, everyone, and blessings to all. I am visualizing my bestseller goal emblem. Thanks for holding the vision. Thanks for holding the vision for me. I feel better already.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
I'm holding the vision.
We are here, and you might hear it in my voice, Paula, so let me apologize to you and our listening audience in advance. I'm getting over a cold. I do feel better than I did yesterday, so I'm grateful for that progress, but as they say, he ain't done with me yet. I'm still coming out of it. So, again, any voice issues, please pardon me. But I tell you what, it certainly puts me in the mood for feeling better and a wellness moment. So I am happy to be here in this moment with you. And listening family, if you are a returning participant, then you know this hour goes by fast, and you are probably like me and ready to jump right in to hear more from Paula as she guides us through tonight's lesson and the creation of our wellness moment. And if this happens to be your first time joining us, well, my friends, I'm going to be honest. We've got a little bit of catching up to do. Tonight's episode is part 3 of the Feel Better Challenge. So when we finish tonight's broadcast, make sure that you return to the station homepage on blogtalkradio.com. You can search Impacting You or Paula Potts, and either one will gain you access to the Feel Better Challenge episode archive. So take a look, blogtalkradio.com, search Impacting You or Paula Potts, and you can catch right on up. Let's see, speaking of the archive and tonight's topic of visualizing, you know, Paula, I am one who believes that you are better able to propel yourself or be propelled in the direction you want to go in if you can also be honest about where you've been. Would you agree?
Amen, amen, amen. Absolutely. Roots matter.
Okay, indeed. Yeah, I think so, too. You know, Black History Month, and, you know, the history is important. And, you know, if I may just take a quick aside, I think especially with the African-American or Black community, you know, we are challenged sometimes to envision a better future or, you know, in some dire cases, a future at all, you know, without the benefit of an authentic awareness of our past. I think some of us are challenged to go back even one generation with full clarity. So, you know, as we roll into the meat and potatoes of tonight's show and embracing the spirit of Black History Month, I want to make sure that I warmly acknowledge the elders of our village, the family historians, the HBCUs, and the educators, the researchers, the librarians, and the students, you know, all who make their choice, one that is to pursue and attain and pay forward the rich tradition of education and cultural awareness. And I know, Paula, you have an interesting HBCU background as well, right?
Absolutely. I am an HBCU baby, practically, Alexis. My HBCU, yes, yes, I was virtually born there. But my HBCU roots run deep. My family moved to Voorhees College campus in Denmark, South Carolina, in 1954, when my father became president and my mother first lady. Oh. I was just six. I was 6 years old when we moved there. And I lived there on the campus until I was graduated from college in 1969 with a BA in English. Also attended Virginia State College, now Virginia State University, where I studied music, which is my mother's alma mater. So again, I have a rich, rich history in the HBCU community. And my first three jobs out of college were also working with HBCUs. That's also what brought me to Washington, D.C., the R.R. Moton Foundation. And then I worked with the Title III program in the U.S. Department of Education. I was very proud to carry on the family legacy. And what I'd also like to share is that about Voorhees College is that it was one of two HBCUs founded by a black woman.
Really?
Not many people know that. And so I want to, you know, give my Black History Month facts that may not be so familiar and talk about Elizabeth Evelyn Wright.
I want to write that down. That's her name.
Yes. Okay. Everybody Google Elizabeth Evelyn Wright. She was a Tuskegee graduate. And she was a very committed young woman who was determined to educate herself and then educate her people. And she had a vision. And she followed the vision until fulfillment. And she founded Voorhees College when she was 25 years old. And so she impacted my life as well. Her story impacted my life for all the years that I was there. So I'd like to give my Black History Month shout out to HBCU, to Elizabeth Evelyn Wright, to Voorhees College, for their contribution to American education, to uplifting the Black community, and to my life, talking about impact. They held a vision for our future then, and they still do now. And I'd even like to give a Black History Month shout out to the United Negro College Fund for their inspiring slogan that I quote very often in my book, actually, and we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can probably say it with me, right? Mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Right.
How many times, how many years have you heard that? That motto came out in 1972, and I grew up with that idea as a young adult, but I'm not so sure I got it then, right? But I really began to understand it more fully when I began to write my memoir and talk about positive psychology, which is what the visualization we're talking about tonight is about, what I call careless thinking in my book that relates to visualizing is that a thought is a terrible thing to waste, right?
Right.
A thought is a terrible thing to waste. A thought is mind energy. We could transform the world with this message alone because there are some individuals who cannot control their thoughts. At least that's what they say. I can't control what's going on in my mind. You hear that over and over again in our culture today. And what I would add tonight is a vision is a terrible thing to waste. What you see is what you get, the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
So in this Feel Better Challenge on visualizing, our goal is to see success. See yourself successful and transform your life.
Wow.
Yes.
A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A thought and a vision is a terrible thing to waste. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I am blessed to have had an opportunity to read your book, and one of the many things that I appreciate, you know, the visuals you create, the pictures that you paint. And if you wouldn't mind and put you on the spot a little bit, would you paint a picture for us? Give us a little bit more. And by the way, shout out to Virginia State University. My dad is a Virginia State graduate. So, you know, I will join
Trojans,
you with a fist in the air for Virginia State. But with Voorhees, paint us a picture of the social climate you know, around your Southern HBCU campus home and how it, or that experience, you know, frames the person you have become and still aspire to be. I know you've got a lot in front of you that you're looking forward to. How does Voorhees and that experience contribute to that picture?
Well, I'm going to take you on a journey through the campus. So
yay,
we'll go there together, right? This will be
our
visualizing exercise, this sort of impromptu as we, you know, get started with this journey on the webinar tonight. And so take a deep breath. in through the nose and out through the mouth, and ground your feet, connect to earth, go into your healing place inside, you know, that warm, fuzzy place. And now let's start to breathe lots of fresh country air, you know. You just take a deep breath down there in good old rural South Carolina. In the 50s and 60s, you could just take a nice deep breath of good old country air. I think some listeners may be familiar with that. And Voorhees was a very profoundly nurturing community and environment. You know, close your eyes and imagine a semicircle of red brick buildings on a circular road. That was the layout of the main campus. There were some two-story buildings and one-story buildings and three-story buildings and brick buildings with beautiful windows. And the campus was just astonishingly beautiful, especially in spring. It was small but efficient. And if we take a walk around the campus, again, close your eyes for just a moment, and just imagine that you're driving to the campus, the windows are open, you're breathing the fresh air, you park your car and you get out and you see this circle of beautiful brick buildings, red brick buildings. There's one building and then there's office building and then there's a chapel and then there's another office building and a classroom building and a student center. And then you see all these beautiful trees and flowers with azalea bushes surrounding all the buildings and pansies and tulips and green grass all around. You know, we walked everywhere, and Mother Nature was always in full array. Colorful flowers everywhere. Morning glories, camellias in perfect balance and symmetry, plants in perfection. Green fields filled all the spaces between the circular grouping of buildings. The secular form contributed to a feeling of togetherness and wholeness. Just looking upon that circle could make you feel better. As far as the eye could see, there were lots of green trees, oaks, fruit trees, pear trees, and pecan trees, the best I ever ate, blackberry bushes and tomato plants, a smorgasbord of organic foods just free for the picking, the scent of honeysuckle and wisteria in the air, just always wafting through the air when you were taking those deep breaths. The hum of students and teachers scurrying to class could be felt all day. You could feel the vibration of teaching and learning in the air. It was a very, very nourishing feeling, and maybe you can feel it as I share this story with you. And then you had homecoming season in the fall, where there may be a marching band rehearsal on the football field and around the campus circle that could be heard for miles around. And I was a head majorette, so I always looked forward to the homecoming season. So that was the warm and fuzzy part. It was a beautiful environment. If you walked into one building and out of another building, there were more flowers and more trees and beautiful grass. And in the center of the circle was a nice grassy area with trees and benches for the students to sit on and gather on and enjoy their studies and enjoy each other and just share the experience of being in a nurturing environment. There were people of all ages with all kinds of skill sets, you know, just amazing, amazing resources available. And, you know, this was the warm and fuzzy part. It was a warm and fuzzy part to it. Of course, it was racially segregated. But that's another story. We're going to stay on the warm and fuzzy and inhale the fresh air and look at the beautiful flowers and the campus that, which was where I grew up and spent most of my early life. So it was a great. So I hope you could see a little bit of that, listeners. Feel a little bit of that, and I hope you'll keep breathing deeply the fresh air. Yes.
Well, I can feel the drum. I like the drum.
Okay.
I like the marching band. I was not a majorette, but I was a cheerleader. But to this day, we live near several schools, and with the right wind and calm in the air, you can hear their marching bands when the time comes, and I love it. You know, I'm sure there's an Afrocentric pull with that as well, being responsive to the beat of the drum, but I certainly can relate to how that would stir up a nice afternoon, for sure. And you know what else I see? And I've heard you, you know, talk about this before, obviously, but in hearing you detail this vision now, it reminds me of Hillman, which was a fictional place, but this is where he took Huxtable, went to school, and so I see, you know, Denise, I see Dwayne Wayne, I see Whitley Gilbert, I see Mr. Gaines, and I see a good place. You know, I see a place was inviting to me as a, you know, a teenager at that time and looking forward to going to school. I did not go to an HBCU, but that's definitely where my mind went with that detailing. So I appreciate that, Paul. And, you know, I said, oh, sure, thank you. And I didn't really mean to digress, but, you know, I am a lover of good stories. Especially those with a good, solid, historically or culturally relevant, you know, reflection. Those from the 60s and 70s, too, you know, as times of a revolution that predated, you know, my existence, but definitely impacted it, you know, with its widespread civil action and, you know, uprisings against systemic injustice in the Black community and all those things that are not a part of tonight's episode, but, you know, they are a part of who we are. So I think, you know, to a degree, we cannot help but to pull them into our reflection and even discussion of today. But I do find it therapeutic, and I appreciate it. To me, it's food for my soul, and it's important to get those firsthand accounts or those stories that are passed down. Because, you know, without them, we're left with the images that are imposed upon us.
Absolutely.
Not all of those are good ones. So, thank you.
And that's
that
why
visual
I wanted to give
reflection
a good image.
Is powerful. Yeah,
that's why I wanted to give
absolutely.
The good stuff, right? Because, you know, we have a tendency to think that all we've experienced, you know, is not good, and it simply isn't true. And we need to spend more time, you know, learning about all of the great things that we've done as a people, that we continue to do, and we're going to visualize some of that as we move forward, right?
Right. Yeah. That inner vision power?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
That's all where
right.
we're going.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about inner vision power. We're going to see joy. We're going to feel happy. We're going to imagine it. And here's my call to action, listeners. Here we go.
Okay.
Decide what you want. This is my little opening monologue. Some of it I borrowed and some of it I amended. Decide what you want. Believe that you will get it. Live as if you already have it. And then my addition was visualize as if it is happening right now. Then, the important part, feel it. Okay, so this is what we're going to be talking about. How you can see yourself successful. You can envision joy, calm, success, and feel better. We're talking about a simple practice, really, in some ways, that leads to discipline when you apply practice, right? Then you become disciplined in those things. And then that leads to transformation. Once you acquire a discipline and you apply the discipline, you truly can be transformed and changed for the better. So, yes, even though we're talking about something you can see with your inner vision in this webinar, visualizing, we are still talking about something you can feel, and that's going to be an important distinction as we go forward. Something you can feel as though it is happening in the present. You know, professional athletes and Olympians have known for a very long time about the power of inner vision to help them achieve exceptional feats of physical and mental prowess. It is reported that golf pro Jack Nicklaus practiced each shot in his mind before taking it. And we now understand in what is known as performance psychology that imagining yourself doing movements can help you get better at them. Imagining yourself. I know a lot of people find this hard to believe, and that's why the believe it part of this is so important. Mm-hmm. Imagine yourself doing movements can get help you get better at them. I say imagine that, right? Mm. And then envisioning success can enhance motivation and confidence. And all of us need a little bit more of that sometimes, right? Motivation and confidence just by envisioning mm-hmm. success. Envisioning calmness may also decrease physical symptoms of stress, like increase in heart rate or the release of stress hormones. Just envisioning calmness. This is how powerful this is. And what I would add from my own experience is that envisioning joy, what I'm calling a happy place, can serve, like our visit to Voorhees' campus, one of my original happy places, can
right.
serve as a resource. And that's what we're offering in the Feel Better Challenge, resources, tools for all kinds of wellness opportunities. But in particular here, the happy place can serve as a resource for crisis management and trauma resolution. I've used it myself for that purpose. All these and more describe what's important about visualizing as a new tool for wellness breaks in 2016 and beyond. So just preliminarily, take a moment now, everyone, to close your eyes and notice what you see when you close your eyes. What kind of image comes up naturally? How does that image make you feel? Just notice. When you close your eyes and you go into your inner vision without any prompting from me, without any suggestions, just for your normal activity, your normal way of being in the world, what do you see when you go into your inner vision and how does it make you feel? Just put a pin in that and make a note of it if you like. So continuing. Visualizing is simply and mostly mental practice. It involves the process of creating a mental picture or a visual, right, of something mm-hmm. we want to manifest in our reality, something we want to make happen. Visualization techniques use the law of attraction, and it's a natural human ability that can help with goal fulfillment. In general, it is carried out from a place of deep relaxation, by summoning a mental image or visualizing and imagining achieving it. Sounds simple. I know. Actually, to some, it sounds complex. It's a little bit of both at the end of the day if you are not accustomed to doing it, right? It's like most things. It takes a little practice and it takes a little exercise. So let me just say as an aside here that I know many people who have vivid imaginations and live up in their heads. That's what I call it. You know, come up out of your head, come down to earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
I might have to raise my hand just a little bit on that one, maybe, a little.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm still listening.
You know, it's all good, right? You know, we work mm-hmm. with what we have, and we learn to use it better, right? And, yes. you know, and some people just live there, though, and they're always imagining the next big thing, you know, the next big thing. I'm going to climb the mm-hmm. mountain. I'm going to, you know, do all these marvelous things. And I'm not so sure most of them have mastered the art of goal attainment through the discipline of visualizing, okay? And that's what we're talking about in this webinar. And nor have I, let me say for the record. This is this particular webinar speaks to me in a very deep place. And it's something that it took me quite a while to learn myself. I was not one of those very visual people. So this was a challenge for me originally. And ever since I started preparing for this episode, I've been taking the journey with you, Alexis, and listeners, to deepen my experience of the magic, because I know it's magical. That I do know. And I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it mostly because I have been successful in my personal and professional journey with trauma resolution, using visualizing exercises. And now I'm using it to attract my best future. So I'm excited about this new adventure in my own wellness life.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm excited, you know. This has just been so much fun the past week or so. I've been knee-deep in it and just having a ball. So let's move on to a little science of visualizing before we get right into the exercises. Consider, if you will, just for a bit, how the brain works. And this is, you know, research science. And scientists believe that we may experience real and imaginary actions in similar ways. whether it's real or imagined. I know some of these things are amazing, right? Whether we walk on a mountain trail or just picture it, we activate many of the same neural networks in our brain, paths of interconnected nerve cells that link what the body does to the brain impulses that control it. So you have to play it back.
So is that like when you run on the treadmill and you have a visual of, you know, running through Central Park or, you know, through some mountain pathway? Is that why they, or why those are typically successful? Because they have a similar response in our bodies based on the science?
Yes, I think that fits, But you can imagine doing it, and then when you go to do it, it's actually more effective.
Mm.
So that's the point, because, you know, there's also the idea that simply envisioning the movement elicits actual responses in your nervous system, which are comparable to those that are there when you're actually physically executing the same action. You know, so that's a leap for a lot of people, but it's already been proven. It's already been done. As I said on the top, Olympians and athletes have been doing this for generations, so now we need to get in the game and apply this secret to what we do.
Right.
You know, people who run marathons and walkathons, you know, you can use your imagination and your visualizing skill to do this. It happens in the right brain hemisphere. It's responsible for the everything creative, including visualizing. And, you know, that's how our subconscious mind or our spirit or higher self communicates with us through the right brain. So that's just a point of interest. And performance psychology tells us that you should be so immersed in a mental image, so immersed in it, so committed to it, that it seems as if it is actually happening while you're imagining it. And so one of the ways to accelerate this, amplify this, is to involve all of your five senses, feeling, smelling, hearing, seeing. You know, we're going to do that as we move through the exercises. That's why I had you to smell the fresh air on the campus at Voorhees, and smell the wisteria, and smell the honeysuckle. You know, those are, they make it real. They help you to take it into your reality and become immersed in it. And then there's also the idea that you should write it down. You know, you should write down what you want to happen so that you can, flesh out the details. And then there's another school of thought that says you should use your inner child and allow yourself to be playful with vivid images when you're visualizing, and to relax and let go of fears. Now, it's also true, as a disclaimer, that visualization practice will not help you beyond your capability, but will help you to reach your potential. And most of us are not tapping into one-third of our potential. So there's a lot of room there for growth and discovery, right? So connecting with our last episode, we touched on visualizing when we were asked to create images so that we could connect to the earth, right? We're told to have our feet, the tree roots and all of that. And so we're going to be building upon that, because awareness matters. What you're aware of matters, right? So that's, I'm ready to get started. How about you? With the
episode? Yes, indeed. Yes, let's go.
Okay, let's go. Okay. So, everyone, listeners, get comfortable. Remember, we do this in our sacred space. Hopefully it's chaos and confusion-free. And maybe there are a few things in the room that make you feel good, flowers or plants or aromatherapy in the air. We have wafting food. Relax your back, arms, and shoulders. Settle your feet. Take a sip of water if you have not already. And give yourself permission to engage the experience of the exercises. Get a notepad and pen if you desire. Let go of any fear and let's go into our visualizing pool of inner vision with high expectations for success and playful abandon. So as we've done in previous weeks, I have a little pretest, a little baselining that we start with. So we see where we start from, so when we get to the end, we see where we are. So I'm going to ask you to take your healing hands, as we've done, and rub them together to sensitize them, and place your right hand on your diaphragm at the bottom of your rib cage, and your left hand on your upper chest. And we're just going to do a quick breath scan. just going to listen. I'm not even going to ask you to take a breath right now. How about that? But I want you to listen to what's already there on your in-breath and your out-breath. And just take a few seconds to listen to your own breathing so you see your starting point. And what you want to notice here is whether or not you're breathing into your right hand all the way down into your diaphragm or belly, or whether you're breathing only in your upper chest. So that's whether you're deep breathing or shallow breathing, whether your breath is anxious, whether your breath is calm, whether you're breathing into your nose or into your mouth. Just notice your natural breathing. And then now we're going to do, you can relax your hands, a quick body scan. So we'll see what's going on in our bodies before we get to our performance activities. And start with your feet. And just notice what's there. Move up to your ankles. Just notice. This is pure observation, no criticism, no self-condemnation. As a matter of fact, I want you to bless everything that you encounter, and move from your ankles to the calves of your legs, and then up to your knees, and just notice whatever is there, comfortable or uncomfortable. Move to your thighs, your buttocks, your low back. Move to your center of your back, to your spine, and notice all the muscles and tissues around your spine, and move up to your shoulders. And just notice what's there. Observe your own beautiful beingness and bless it. And then move out through your arms, down to your hands and your fingers. Come back up to your neck, your head, your face, the area around your eyes and nose, your cheeks, your jawline, and now your whole self. Just notice what's there, what's calling, what's speaking to you, and what you may want to address as we move forward. And then finally, a mind scan. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts right now? Don't edit. Don't edit. Keep it real. And just notice what you're thinking. And hopefully you're not thinking, she's crazy. You know, she wrote a book about crazy, right? Yes, I wrote a book about crazy, but I don't own it. Not by myself. You know, only own the parts that apply to me, right? And in this, these exercises, your healing hands will now be writing things down, you know, should you decide to do that. So now we're going to visualize an imaginary prayer circle of us holding hands. We must always start with some meditation or prayer. And we will say our prayer mantra three times, starting with, we give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be, okay? This is a blessing. Mm-hmm. We're blessing ourselves. We're loving ourselves. You know, that's what these Feel Better Challenge exercises are really all about, which is a way of empowering mm-hmm. us to be the very mm-hmm. best version of ourselves that we could possibly imagine, right? So the visualizing exercises, there are three categories, three types that we'll be exploring for different purposes. And the first is what I call the happy place, which is related to crisis and stress management and trauma resolution and just general resourcing, physical performance, which is about improving the precision of our bodies, our physicality, and our results of things like marathons and exercise routines and training, and actually our biology. And then thirdly, the law of attraction, goal attainment, what we've been hearing about, the secret. Yes, Alexis, where are we?
Oh.
Listeners, I hear sounds in the background. Sounds like the beach to me. Can you see it? I can. Can you hear it? I can. Can you feel it? I can. Love the sound of the waves on the ocean. Another way to get into our visual world. Thank you, Alexis, for that little tidbit of sound. And,
you're welcome.
Yes, and it allows me, it takes me back to my original happy place visual. Back in the early 90s, I was receiving electric acupuncture for my pain of the fibromyalgia. And the doctor, a pain doctor, asked me to visualize a place that was made me feel good while I was receiving the treatment. And because I'd never heard anything like that before. And actually, I couldn't do it when he first asked me. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't see anything. I was so depressed and so forlorn and so sad and just so disappointed with everything, suffering so much that I couldn't even imagine doing a visual. And then after several days of laying there, and I guess after a while I got just tired of him asking me, and it just happened. All of a sudden I imagined myself laying on the beach and enjoying the beach, which has always been one of my favorite places. Believe it or not, it made a major difference. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think that was a point worth kind of highlighting, that you said that you had problems or, you know, a challenge with visualizing. And in our mind and body and breath scan, you made sure to remind us that there is no judgment here, which is, you know, we don't report out. There's nobody to convince. You know,
absolutely.
It's just a matter of self-awareness, and I think that your
absolutely.
Point briefly stated there that it was something you had a challenge with early on. I hope that that is empowering to anyone who's listening tonight that is challenged to find that happy place. That, you know, it's okay, and that there is a light at the end of that tunnel. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. Excuse me for interrupting you.
No, that was perfect timing. Perfect timing. It's so important. You know, I don't like to suggest that everything that I'm trying to share happens overnight or happens instantly or happens at all for some. And that's why I have several approaches to everything that I share, so that if you don't get it one way, maybe you get another. So thank you for that. Very important. This was actually quite difficult for me when I started out. But, oh, my God, it made such a huge difference in my recovery and my healing process. I've learned to use it for so many things. So let's go to the happy place.
Okay.
Something you can feel. Let's go there. Okay, listeners, are you with me? Hopefully we're going to go there. Everybody's going to pick something, and we're going to go to our happy places, which is our first visualizing exercise. And the intention, we're still using our tools of intention, attention, and awareness. And the intention is to feel joy in your body that is connected to a mental image that you imagine, visualize, or recall. You're going to create or imprint this happy place. Your attention is on your inner vision initially when you close your eyes, and your awareness is on your inner smile, your felt sense of joy within. You will visualize a real or imagined experience, a favorite person, a place, a thing, past or present, a beautiful flower, companion pet, swim in the ocean. You have an array of things to choose from. You can even visualize yourself surrounded by the white light, or what some people call the white light of the Holy Spirit. So, or in the presence of one of your spiritual icons, whatever makes you feel happy in the moment can make you feel better. So let's do it together. And these are the few opening steps that I'm going to use for each one. And the first step is to smile while taking three deep breaths. Just to smile. Believe it or not, a smile can change your chemistry. So smile and take a nice deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. I'm not going to count this time. I'm just going to breathe with you and then take another deep breath. Remember to smile and then take another deep breath. And then ground your feet and take another deep breath. And feel that connection to earth and take another deep breath. Grounding the feet, feeling that connection. We're establishing a foundation here. And now take your attention to your third eye, your inner eye, your mind's eye, and breathe into your mind's eye so that you create an opening. Nice deep breath. Another nice deep breath. And this is not intended to put you to sleep, just to put you into a state of relaxation and another deep breath. Now you're in. You're in your inner eye, you're grounded, you're centered, and you're ready to see or imagine an image that makes you feel happy inside. For me, one of them is the beach. So feel free to try one or more images until you find one that works. And once you have crafted that image in your imagination or in your memory, maybe it's something you did as a child. Maybe it's a flower in your yard. Then allow the feeling created by the image or idea to spread throughout your body. Literally take the feeling created by the image, creates a feeling, and allow it to move throughout your body. And then breathe into the feeling in your body, a nice deep breath. Breathe into that feel better feeling created by the image or the white light or the flower or the loved one or the doggies that you see playing in the yard or a brand new puppy or a kitten. Feel it. Laugh if it helps. Laugh out loud.
Laugh out loud if it helps.
And bring that feel better energy and move around a little bit, you know, just move a little bit. If it helps to move the energy through your body and feel supported and resourced by the joy within, feel happy. And that's it. That's the simple version of finding a happy place and bringing that energy into your body. You try it again and again, you will notice that you'll begin to feel it and you'll be able to use it for many purposes. Again, you might need to amplify this exercise by engaging your five senses, like we did with the sound of the ocean waves. So that will help to take you there, right? If you're thinking about food, you might have the smell of your favorite cake baking or the taste of your favorite ice cream. The choices are endless. But perhaps you want to imprint something that will be impactful again and again as something that makes you feel better each time. I actually have several that I've developed over the years. So that's number one, right? Pretty simple, everybody. So take a pause.
I think so.
Yeah, was that pretty simple? Did that kind of make sense? Yeah.
Makes me think about how the realtor suggests that you have cookies baking when you're trying to sell your home.
Yeah.
You know, so they can visualize themselves home in your kitchen and, you know, here I go again.
Yeah.
Interrupting.
Yeah,
there
we
go.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to keep moving. I know before, so we should use up our time. But the second exercise is physical performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, if you're participating in a training program or you're preparing for a marathon or a charitable walkathon, maybe even you want to tighten up those abs or thighs so your bikini shows your best body this summer as you stroll along the beach or on the cruise boat. Maybe you envision mountain climbing for dancing at your son or daughter's wedding or graduation. I'm just saying there are a lot of physical performance areas. And optimizing physical performance to feel better works. Visualizing it is a way to see success. And again, it doesn't have to be, you know, a big deal. You can pick something small, which is what I've done. And the first four steps are, again, the same. And I'm going to do them one more time and just for emphasis. And that is to smile while taking three deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Smiling. Another deep breath. And another deep breath. Ground your feet, connect to earth with three deep breaths. And another deep breath. And another nice deep breath. Take your attention again to your inner eye, your mind's eye. Close your eyes if you will. And go to your third eye. Some know it is that. Breathe into that place so that it becomes open to receive and open for you to go in there and do your work. You perhaps want to go into your happy place for a minute and bring that joy into your body mind. And now visualize a physical feat that you want to see yourself performing. Maybe it's a number of repetitions, 100 push-ups, or a length of time you want to do something for 10 minutes or 20 minutes. I ride my exercise bike sometimes for 20 minutes, and then I try to get up to 45 minutes in the next 30 days. or distance, maybe you want to walk or run 5 miles, and keep the event or act as if it's happening in the present. That's key. Use your senses to keep it real. Write it down in detail and allow your inner child to assist you. Create and outline success action steps. It really is a call to action. Okay?
So I heard you mention, did you say that you were working on your own physical performance goal right now, Paula? You want to share that with us?
Yes, I am. Excited. Now. Oh,
okay.
My God, girl, let me just tell you, this Feel Better Challenge has just taken over my life.
And, okay. You
know, I'm an avid observer of the Lenten season in the Christian church. I'm Episcopalian, and every year I look forward to the transformation of Easter as a result of the self-discipline of Lent. And I usually add some things, you know, in addition to the things I let go of. I've been doing this for 20 years, nonstop. So for me, it's tried and true. And so as someone who lives with physical challenges, you know, fibromyalgia, causes you to be constant need in exercising and stretching. And so I know how important it is to be flexible, to keep my muscles in balance and my skeleton in balance and alignment. And so my new challenge as an author with a book to promote requires me to be more active than I have been in a very long time. I see a book tour in my future. I'm going to have to get on the road.
I do too.
Okay. So I'm getting ready to push go and to have the stamina and the strength to persevere and enjoy the ride. So I have three exercises that I've created. One has to do with a shoulder challenge that I have, and I'm using dance routine and floor work to work on all of these, and I work on an exercise ball. And in one of them I've almost already accomplished, whereas when I do my floor work from the butterfly position, I can put my chest on the floor as I bend to the floor and put my head on the floor. And when I started out, and I could visualize it easily because it's something I used to be able to do. So I picked some things that I could visualize rather easily because I could do them some years ago. And in just 10 days, I'm almost there on that one, just by staying with my routine every day and visualize it. And I actually feel happy when I'm visualizing it. So it has really been working for me, and I'm so excited. The other two are a little more challenging. But, you know, I'm giving myself 30 to 60 days, and I'm doing it.
Well, congratulations, Paula. That's awesome.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you to the listeners and everybody who's supporting the Feel Better Challenge for putting me in this auspicious position of, you know, resourcing myself with this work so that I can use it as an example to share with those who need to know about it. Yeah. So we'll take another pause and another sip of water, and then we'll go to the last exercise for the day, for the evening, which has to do with the law of attraction and goal attainment. We've all heard about this secret, right?
Right.
You know, ask, believe, receive. What is your heart's desire? And the first four steps are the same. In the interest of time, I know we have some other things to discuss, I'm not going to go through each one, but remember to smile and take 3 deep breaths. To ground your feet, connect to earth, take 3 deep breaths. Attention to your third eye and take 3 deep breaths and then breathe into that inner eye. That's important to create an opening, to create an opportunity to say to your inner self, welcome this activity. I'm about to come in, welcoming my inner vision power. So it's important to breathe into these places. And once we're in, and this is something you're probably going to need to plan, and I won't be able to do as much tonight, but you can plan to do it in the future if it appeals to you. And that is to imagine a goal, okay? This is something you can do, you know, after this webinar. Imagine a goal or desire that you would like to achieve or attain. Be very detailed. Again, engage your senses. Write it down. Repeat it until you feel it. All right? Your healing hands are going to help you write it all down. Affirm it. Like, you know, affirm it. See yourself successful. Create a vision board if you know how to do that. If not, you can Google it. And create your success steps that are going to get you to this goal. You know, my examples are to be a bestseller. That's actually now. And my mantra is, I am a bestseller. I am a bestseller. I am a bestseller. Another is to see myself on a book tour so So I'm on tour. I'm getting ready to put it all out and increase sales to 10,000 copies. I know it sounds like a lot, but I'm going to get to the million mark one day. So I got to start somewhere. It's important, you know, and make sure to resource your, use your happy place sensations in the body as you engage. This will help you go through the process of determining what are the best goals to set and what is the best plan for getting there. And it's important to notice what emotions and thoughts arise as you picture the process and the outcomes, as you are visualizing. Notice your emotions. Notice what you feel and where you feel it, because your heart must be in it. No pie in the sky on my watch.
That's funny.
Okay.
You know, I call, well, as I've listened to, you know, what you are teaching us tonight, it brings to mind what a phrase I use, which is dream in color. I like to dream in color. I like the details.
Very
I like
good.
To create
yes.
that That's picture.
Perfect.
And I was actually talking to my middle child briefly. I'll share that she had a dream several years ago that we purchased a house that was right across the street from a school. So just today, so I said, at least I need you to go back and revisit that dream. See if you can have it again and give me some more details on that. So when, if ever, Paula, is a dream too big?
The billion-dollar question.
Ooh. Okay.
A must discuss. Yes, the billion-dollar question.
Okay.
And, you
okay.
know, ostensibly, in the universal world of ideas, never. A dream is never too big, right? Because God is bigger. There's no dream too big. But at the end of the day, I would repeat, your heart must be in it. It should align with your divine soul purpose and the goals represent your authentic self. We're talking about authenticity here. Again, we're not
yes.
talking about pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about keeping up with the Joneses or the Kardashians, as it were, in 2016.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because then you're an imitator or a copycat. So it's not about what somebody else has that you want, right?
Wow. Right. Right.
Not want.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
This is heart's desire, soul purpose. Okay? This is divinity that we're tapping into in our inner vision power. This is our inner vision divine power, our inner vision divine alignment power. So meditate on your heart's desire. Meditate on that. So you find out what you really, really, really want deep down inside. And keep it real. A Bentley may not be in your future. Okay? Okay.
All right.
Okay. And yet, it just might be. It might be. It's
mm-hmm.
an Oprah's future. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it does exist. And try a few ideas and see what sticks effortlessly. If you get
right.
a knot in your stomach, that's not it.
True.
Trust the process. And just trust the process. And know that there are also times when the law of attraction works fast. I mean, it does happen.
Right. But, you know, speaking of the law of attraction and, you know, somewhat of the bigger picture with the Feel Better Challenge, and what I know is one of your personal heart desires, and that is to impact and, you know, empower others on this journey in particular. Should our law of attraction dreams impact others in the community? Is that an indicator of a good dream?
Wow, I love this question. I just love this question. It just really touches me in my heart and soul, really. And I think it can be a good idea to have impact through the fulfillment of your dreams, you know,
mm-hmm.
on others and on your community. I mean, they should work hand in hand, right? After all,
right.
we do need a critical mass of collective consciousness, of positive consciousness, to make our world a better place. You know, we don't do anything alone, really, anyway. You know,
mm-hmm.
most of our dreams, most of our visions, you know, involve others. So, you know, this will expand our dream to higher heights. I talk about Elizabeth Evelyn Wright. Evidently, she thought so, right? She thought
mm-hmm.
beyond her goals for herself. She had a vision to educate her people, which was fulfilled at 25 years old. And she only lived to be 34, 33, so she got it in. She got it in, you know, and the fact that she was seeking to help her people, I think, made a big difference. I can also think of a friend of ours, someone you introduced me to, Joyce Burgess, the next
mm-hmm.
mayor in my prayers of Baker, Louisiana. Yes.
Baker, Louisiana. Black, yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, a black woman who's a city council woman who's now seeking progress for her constituents because she sees the vision beyond her own dream and within her own dream. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, good point.
Yes, that's what I would say. Yeah. So, getting... Oh, I did have one other disclaimer, and that is that the law of attraction exercise may be so process-oriented that it requires some retraining or some expert assistance to engage it effectively. So do some research and patience and seek out others who are well-versed in this subject matter. Because I brought these the physical performance and law of attraction to the webinar, I really just started with the happy place, because the possibilities are endless. Practice, explore, discover what works for you. These are very simple exercises on the surface. In reality, your own soul truth matters. Be honest and open to receive guidance that may redirect what you thought you needed or desired. Get trauma therapy if you need it. In the meantime, imprint a happy place as a resource, as a new tool. For 2016. The next time you're facing a known stressor, try it out. Tap into your feel better place. See if it helps. The next time you're in a sudden crisis, go to your happy place for a few seconds before you respond or react. See if it helps. Always remember, love is the answer. So, I think that brings us to our closing moment. What do you say, Alexis?
I say thank you, Paula. I do. I know we are wrapping up, and there's a few more things. There's one in particular I want to get to, but when you say, what do I say? I say thank you. I think there were some really good points made, some very empowering messages delivered with tonight's session, so I thank you. And as we do close, I want to share some additional words of inspiration. Actually, I'm going to let them speak for themselves, so let's listen up. I'm sure you'll hear a familiar voice.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a
dream. Oh, Alexis. Oh, wow. What a great. Yay!
The greatest,
yes, the greatest visualizing exercise of all time. Listening to the, yes, listening to the voice of one who told us how to have a dream 50 years ago. If you look at the content of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, you will notice a literal law of attraction in action. He spoke about children of all races holding hands and singing My Country, Tears of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty in 1963. When he spoke, little white and black children were not holding hands. They were in segregated schools, as was I. But you are much more likely to see them holding hands in 2016 in spite of all the aggression and all the troubling times, that the revolution that we now live in. Martin Luther King's vision of freedom is ringing out a little bit more than in the past, than in my time, because he had a dream, because he had a vision. And although we still have a long way to go, as he suggested,
indeed,
I have a dream because of Martin Luther King. I believe in the dream because of Martin Luther King. And as he said, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Amazing grace. And he showed us in this speech, why I say it's a great visualizing exercise, is he had us feel and see what freedom looked like, what freedom sounded like. He gave a very picturesque journey through what freedom would look like and what the vision of the future would look like. We got a long way to go. But his vision did really come to fruition. And I have a dream. I have a vision. And I hope all our listeners have dreams and visions to lift us all up as we go forward with our lives. Be transformed by your own visions and your own dreams.
Wow. I'm near speechless.
Yeah, I'll
get
some chill bump.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should it's definitely time to close up. So I thank you again, Paula, and for our listening family, I thank you for your time and attention and participation this evening. I'm going to leave you to your dreams, to your visualization as we close out. Just a few notes that we will be back next month on the fourth Thursday. That will be the 24th. Of March for an episode on listening to the heart. And we actually are going to have a special guest co-host with Paula that evening. That will be Miss Ellen Webster Senikowski. Did I say that correctly,
yes.
Paula?
Okay, I think so, but I'll check with Ellen.
Okay, with the connection practice. So we're looking forward to having her expertise on the line. So save the date. It'll be March 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back on the air. And in the meantime, you can reach Paula at her website, which is paulapotts.com. She mentioned several times during tonight's session that, you know, to investigate and pull yourself toward those who may be a little bit more familiar than you are as you move forward in this Feel Better Challenge. So why not reach right out to Paula, paulapotts.com. She's also on Facebook at Just Paula. You can find her there. And I appreciate it, Paula. I feel better, and I hope that our listeners do as well. So I'll say thank you and good night to you all.
Thank you. Good night, all. Next time.
Next
on the
time.
Feel Better Challenge.